Chapter 2. Doctrine in Context. I am tempted to declare dogmatically that whatever doctrine the armed forces are working on now, they have got it wrong. I am also tempted to declare that it does not matter that they have got it wrong. What matters is their capacity to get it right quickly when the moment arrives. Michael Howard, Military Science in the Age of Peace. The Structure of Doctrine. To understand doctrine, it is necessary to understand the structure of doctrine. Doctrine fits into a broader set of information about the conduct of operations. Concepts are about the conduct of operations in the future. Best practices and lessons learned are immediate responses at the unit level to changing circumstances, approved by local commanders or captured in lessons learned bulletins, but not officially sanctioned for Army-wide use. In between sits doctrine, the approved set of information about the conduct of operations. Three taxonomies make up the body of knowledge that is doctrine: types of information, types of doctrine, types of Army doctrine and their hierarchy. The elements of doctrine. There are five elements included in Army doctrine: principles, tactics, techniques, procedures, terms and symbols. Principles. A principle is a comprehensive and fundamental rule, or an assumption of central importance, that guides how an organization or function approaches and thinks about the conduct of operations. In doctrine, principles can apply to the conduct of operations to specific organizations or functions. An example of a principle that applies to operations is the principle of war objective: direct every military operation towards a clearly defined, decisive, and achievable goal. Tactics. Tactics is the employment and ordered arrangement of forces in relation to each other. CJCSM 5120.01. They include the ordered arrangement and maneuver of units in relation to each other, the terrain, and the enemy, in order to translate potential combat power into decisive results. Tactics vary with terrain and other circumstances. They change frequently as the enemy reacts and friendly forces adopt new approaches. Applying tactics usually entails acting under time constraints with incomplete information and taking prudent risks. Tactics always require judgment in application and often require creative thinking. They are always descriptive, not prescriptive. Employing a tactic may require using and integrating several techniques and procedures. An example of a tactic is a movement to contact, organized with a security force and a main body. Techniques. Techniques are non-prescriptive ways or methods used to perform missions, functions, or tasks. CJCSM 5120.01. Techniques are more specific than tactics and less structured than procedures. Techniques, like tactics, are descriptive and require judgment in application. They are similar to procedures in that they are often described in terms of steps. Soldiers choose specific techniques based on the situation, mission, or task. The conditions soldiers encounter often affect the way they perform a given technique. An example of a technique is a bounding overwatch. Procedures. Procedures are standard, detailed steps that prescribe how to perform specific tasks. CJCSM 5120.01. They include formats for orders, reports, and control measures. Procedures are prescriptive. They consist of a series of steps in a set order that are completed the same way at all times, or a format that must be used without variation, or a control measure that specifies what can or cannot be done. An example of a procedure is a 9-line medical evacuation, known as a medevac message. Procedures in doctrine should not be confused with unit standard operating procedures, which are locally approved for use within a unit, whereas doctrine procedures are approved by the administrative assistant to the Secretary of the Army, as is all doctrine, and are approved for use Army-wide. Terms and symbols. Terms and symbols provide a common language used to communicate during the conduct of operations. Terms are words defined in doctrine publications specifically for Army use, and codified in ADRP 1-02 and the DoD Dictionary. Symbols are those graphics defined for military use. They are codified in Military Standard 2525 Delta. Symbols specific to land operations are contained in ADRP 1-02. Establishing and using terms and symbols with a common military meaning enhances communication among soldiers in all environments and makes a common understanding of doctrine possible. Terms and symbols are prescriptive. They must be used as shown in ADRP 1-02. Descriptive versus prescriptive. Doctrine clearly distinguishes between descriptive and prescriptive information. Most doctrine is descriptive. This means that it is applied with judgment. It is not dogma to be applied blindly. It is adjusted to the circumstances of an operational environment. Techniques and procedures have a clear distinction. Whereas techniques are non-prescriptive ways to complete tasks, procedures are prescriptive ways to complete tasks. In other words, while techniques allow for deviation and adjustment based on circumstance, procedures are to be followed exactly as laid out, with no deviation. There are some reasons that Army Forces applies some aspects of doctrine prescriptively. This derives from the need to adhere to the Army ethic, laws of war, national law, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and often Army regulations. Precisely use terms and symbols, ensure a common understanding. Adhere to control measures to ensure coordination and synchronization and help prevent fratricide. Use report, message, and order formats to ensure information is reported rapidly, accurately, and in a commonly understood manner. These five types of information are a set of guidelines or tools that can be combined in an almost infinite combinations to accomplish missions. Using the same combinations consistently often makes operations predictable, providing an enemy with valuable insights into how to defeat a particular approach. The application of doctrine requires creative thinking. Doctrine is more about knowing how to think about the conduct of operations than it is about what to think. Doctrine is a starting point for determining how to accomplish missions and how to adjust and react to changing circumstances. Applied blindly, it becomes a straitjacket. Applied with judgment, it allows commanders and staffs to take advantage of the collected wisdom of the profession. General types of doctrine. Army doctrine exists within a larger set of doctrine publications. In theory, this is also a hierarchy in which the higher-level doctrine should drive the lower-level doctrine. Lower-level doctrine should, in turn, be consistent with the higher-level doctrine. However, there are exceptions. Sometimes lower-level doctrine drives higher-level doctrine. The four types of doctrine listed below are in hierarchical order, highest to lowest, although joint and multinational doctrine are often co-equal in the hierarchy. Joint doctrine, multinational doctrine, multi-service doctrine, service doctrine. Joint doctrine is fundamental principles that guide the employment of United States military forces in coordinated action toward a common objective and may include terms, tactics, techniques, and procedures. CJCSI 5120.02 Charlie. By federal law, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staffs is responsible for developing doctrine for the joint employment of the armed forces. Joint doctrine broadly covers the strategic and operational levels of war and is, only by exception, tactical in nature. U.S. joint doctrine provides the overarching joint context for multi-service doctrine. Multinational doctrine is the agreed-upon fundamental principles that guide the employment of forces of two or more nations in coordinated action toward a common objective. JP 3-16. The North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, is the only organization that writes true multinational doctrine and largely fills the same niche as joint doctrine. The U.S. incorporates NATO doctrine into joint and service doctrine as appropriate. Multi-service doctrine contains principles, terms, tactics, techniques, and procedures used and approved by the forces of two or more services to perform a common military function consistent with approved joint doctrine. A publication containing this doctrine is called a multi-service publication. See CJCSM 5120.01. Multi-service publications are treated as service doctrine. A multi-service publication has a service doctrine publication number on it for each service that has agreed to it. Service doctrine is those publications approved by a single service for use within that service. Each service publishes its own doctrine publications under various nomenclatures. Army doctrine follows joint doctrine to a large extent. Some variation exists, as each service has different requirements for some doctrine constructs and terms. As a rule, terms and control measures used to issue orders from joint headquarters to Army forces must be used exactly as stated in joint publications. These terms and control measures are prescriptive. Beyond that, Army doctrine should mirror joint doctrine wherever possible to facilitate interoperability and common understanding. When joint terms and constructs are not adequate for land operations, Army doctrine will vary, but only enough to account for the unique nature of land operations. When it does vary, Army doctrine should point out that it varies and why. When an Army echelon acts as a joint headquarters, it will use joint doctrine if available. Army doctrine will not repeat joint doctrine, but will refer to the appropriate joint publication for details. Types of Army doctrine and their hierarchy. U.S. Army doctrine is contained in four types of publications: Army Doctrine Publication, ADP, Army Doctrine Reference Publication, ADRP, Field Manual, FM, Army Techniques Publication, ATP. An ADP contains the fundamental principles by which operating forces and elements of the generating force that directly support operations guide their actions in support of national objectives. An ADP provides the intellectual underpinnings of how the Army operates as a force. When necessary, an ADP has a corresponding ADRP that provides a more detailed explanation of the principles contained in the related ADP. An FM contains principles, tactics, procedures, and other doctrinal information. They describe how the Army and its organizations conduct and train for operations. Field manuals describe how the Army executes operations described in the ADP. They fully integrate and comply with the doctrine in ADPs and ADRPs. An ATP contains techniques. These publications fully integrate, nest, and comply with the doctrine contained in ADPs, ADRPs, and FMs. These publications form a doctrine hierarchy related to the conduct of operations. They do not establish precedence for doctrine over other types of publications, such as Army regulations and operators' manuals. At the top of the doctrine hierarchy are two capstone publications: ADP-1, the Army, and ADP-30, Operations. Below these capstone publications are the remaining ADPs. The next level down are ADRPs, then FMs, followed by ATPs. The hierarchy establishes which publication should be used when a conflict exists between publications. In short, ADPs take precedence over ADRPs, which take precedence over FMs, which take precedence over ATPs. This precedence only comes into play if a conflict arises between or among publications in different categories. Note, not all higher-level publications have corresponding lower-level publications, nor does every lower-level publication have a specific higher-level publication under which it falls. The hierarchy also makes it easier to determine what a professional needs to know. It allows soldiers to trace a body of knowledge from general to specific, getting more and more detail about any given topic as one topic progresses from ADPs to ADRPs through FMs to specific topics in an ATP. The breakout of principles from tactics, techniques, and procedures makes it easier to change publications incrementally. The top tiers should change less frequently, while Army techniques publications can change more rapidly as techniques evolve. Although doctrine as a whole represents the Army's professional body of knowledge on the conduct of operations, no one is expected to be an expert in all of it. Army professionals should be experts in the doctrine that relates to the Army as a whole and that pertains directly to their levels of responsibility, their branch and functional areas, and their assignments. In addition, every officer and non-commissioned officer should know what doctrine exists for the conduct of different types of operations and how to access it in the event that unforeseen circumstances put them in an operation that differs from their personal experience, training, and education. Doctrine and concepts. Doctrine and concepts are often confused. Doctrine is validated principles, tactics, techniques, procedures, and terms and symbols that the force can apply. The administrative assistant to the Secretary of the Army authenticates doctrine. It is concerned with the art of the possible for the force that is currently fielded, trained, and equipped, or will be in the immediate foreseeable future. Doctrine starts from what is already known to work and what has been demonstrated to work beyond current practices. Units conducting operations use doctrine, not concepts. Concepts are ideas for a significant change based on proposed new approaches to the conduct of operations or technology. These ideas propose how the force might do something significantly different in the future, usually 5 to 15 years hence. Ideally, concepts start with a problem for which the current .milpf solutions either do not work or prove inadequate. Although concepts are not bound by current doctrine or technology, concept developers should start with a clear understanding of what doctrine says on a topic and what technology can reasonably be expected to do. A concept should propose a significantly different way to conduct operations. Each concept then becomes the focus for evaluation through experiments, exercises, and other processes to validate or invalidate major changes. When a concept or part of a concept is validated, it may become the driver for a change in any of the .milpf areas. Not all concepts result in a change to current practices. Knowing what does not work after thorough analysis is almost as valuable as knowing what does work, as it can prevent a seemingly good idea from becoming an actual problem. Haste in adopting unproven concepts can result in major disruptions that are counterproductive. Pushing concepts into .milpf solutions before vetting them thoroughly often results in wasted resources and can result in failed operations. Failure to adopt validated concepts can lock the Army into less than optimum solutions at best and into ineffective practices at worst. Changing doctrine. Doctrine has never been static, nor should it be. It changes to account for changing circumstances. While some publications have had longer shelf lives than others have, all are subject to change, and almost all have been changed over their lifespan. For example, the Army's Capstone Operations Doctrine, Field Service Regulations, FM 100-5, FM 30, and then ADP 30, have gone through 20 editions from 1905 through 2016. The average time between versions is about 5 years. The shortest time between versions has been less than a year on 3 occasions. The longest time between editions was 16 years, from 1923 to 1939. Doctrine changes are driven by changes in an operational environment, such as changing threats, technology, organizational design, new and more effective ways to perform tasks, and even budget and political decisions. Two broad drivers prompt changes in doctrine. Each has a different urgency associated with it. First, a change in the threat and its conduct of warfare demands rapid, often immediate, change. This change can be in almost any of the .milpf categories, but often requires a change in doctrine. Such change ranges from a change in national strategy to the lowest level techniques. Changing to react to an adaptable enemy is mandatory, not optional. Second, changes to any of the .milpf categories may be generated internally based on a better way or means to perform tasks. Such change is optional and only takes place when a new approach shows significant value added over the current solution. The doctrine domain is particularly susceptible to change when a new and more effective way to perform some task becomes evident. These changes often originate as local best practices or lessons learned. Best practices and lessons learned are sometimes, incorrectly, called techniques, but only those that become doctrine, authenticated, are truly techniques. There are two other drivers for changes in doctrine. Sometimes an element of doctrine may exist, but has not been fully accepted or acted on by the operating force. This may be from a lack of emphasis in doctrine, or that the idea is not explained in sufficient detail to affect behavior. In such cases, doctrine may change to provide additional emphasis or detail that will cause the operating force to change behavior as desired. An example is the elevation of stability tasks from lesser included capabilities of an army designed for combat to a recognition that stability required the same level of training and planning as did combat tasks. Lastly, sometimes doctrine changes to send a clear message to audiences outside the army that the army is involved in or operating in a manner that has not caught the attention of outside audiences, where it is important that these audiences understand the role the army is playing in support of national security policies. The elevation of SHAPE from the byproduct of security cooperation to an army strategic role in the 2012 ADP-1 is an example of this. It highlighted to many in government that the army has a vital role in peacetime in helping to facilitate stability around the globe and was not solely training for the next combat operation. Any change in doctrine should result in changed behavior in operating forces. Not all changes are truly significant, yet they all require resources to implement the change and eliminate the old practice. Since an institution only has so much energy to devote to change, change must add significant value to the conduct of operations. Change for the sake of change is counterproductive. It wastes valuable resources. Therefore, changes that reflect small nuances in the conduct of processes, renaming existing constructs or adding adjectives to established terms, rarely have much effect and should be avoided. Proponents of change must ask if the resources required to implement the change are worth the value added from the change. Every change in doctrine has the following effects on the Army. The Army must disseminate the change to the force. It often takes 1 to 3 years for the force to fully understand a major change. Operating forces must study and adopt the change. The institutional army must change programs of instruction. Everyone must become proficient at the change. Soldiers must understand what has been rescinded from doctrine and is no longer part of our professional knowledge. Finally, it takes time for a change to become proficient at the new tactics or techniques, often up to 5 years. Until every person or unit affected by the change adopts the change, the common operational approach and common language required for effective operations is at risk. Doctrine is inherently conservative. Unlike some enterprises that can afford to spend significant resources on a myriad of projects in the hope of a huge payoff, such as venture capitalists, the military cannot afford to risk lives on speculation. It is difficult to determine the effectiveness of a new idea in the absence of actual operations. Thus, changes to .MIL-PF tend to be incremental rather than revolutionary. Often, the most important change brought about by a new technology is not the technology itself, but the doctrine that applies it. Balancing the technology and the doctrine that implements it is one of the great challenges with doctrine. The different elements of doctrine, principles, tactics, techniques, procedures, have different rates of change. True principles should be time-tested and relatively long-lasting. Many of the Army's principles have been derived from centuries of warfare and are grounded in the human nature of war. Tactics also have a long lineage and often reflect relatively unchanging, basic ways to perform specific tasks. While influenced by technology, tactics often use new technology to improve speed up, or refine the basic approach. In some cases, a new technology or simply an innovation in doctrine significantly alters tactics, even while those changing tactics adhere to the fundamentals. Techniques and procedures, on the other hand, often change rapidly as new ways to perform a specific task, or even entirely new tasks, enter the inventory. Terms and symbols are in a different category. Many are enduring and have been around for a very long time. For example, infantry has been around for thousands of years. Some are short-lived. Active defense lasted on 6 years and then was banished from doctrine. New terms arise only when current terms are insufficient to adequately describe or address some facet of operations. New terms are added to the Army Dictionary, ADRP 1-02, for two reasons. First, when common English is inadequate to describe something. A truly new term is often a compound, two or more words combined and then defined as a single term, and is created where no single word can clearly express what is desired. For example, movement to contact. Second, we may define a common English word as having a specific meaning within the context of doctrine, where an English dictionary might have several definitions for that word. For example, attack has multiple definitions in English, but within the military context, it is a type of offense task. New terms should be added only when absolutely necessary, as they too impose a burden on soldiers to learn a new word and understand it. The fewer words in the dictionary that have specific military meanings, the greater the likelihood that soldiers will understand the term and use it correctly. New symbols are added only when current symbols cannot be created out of existing sets of symbols, and a new type of unit, function, or some other category of symbol is necessary to depict operation.